So last time we were discussing from the beginning of the second canto, and we discussed up to the third, fifth, fourth verse. And what I also noticed today while I was writing the summary was that Maharaj Parikshit was at a very high platform. He was not lamenting in front of Sukadev Goswami that, oh no, I am losing my kingdom. You know, usually people will go to Swamis and Babas and astrologers and all these people so that their material life becomes comfortable. But here Maharaj Parikshit is in the most uncomfortable situation of his life. He is about to lose his body in 7 days, and he is going to lose his kingdom, his everything, all that he had created. But when he is talking to Sukadev Goswami, not even one moment he has spent on lamenting that I am going to lose all of these things. Help me get it back. And he doesn't even have any regret. See, suppose someone tells me I am going to die tomorrow, I will sit in regret. Oh no, I wasted so many years. I lived next to the temple for so many years and I did not use my life properly in Krishna consciousness, and then I'll think, oh no, maybe I need more time. And even if I beg for more time, and suppose, you know, I get more time, I will still not have that sense of urgency and that sense of focus in Krishna consciousness. I will still waste away my life. That determination is lacking. But here Maharaj Parikshit is not even lamenting that, oh no, I need still more time to become self-realized and perfect. He's already perfect. He's not lamenting, I'm losing my kingdom, I'm losing my life, help me get it back, Sukadev Goswami, you're the most powerful. No, he's not doing any of that. He is simply asking, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And the most beautiful thing is, Sukadev Goswami also, being very spiritually elevated, he is not telling Parikshit Maharaj, he's not lamenting for material things on behalf of Parikshit Maharaj. He's like, oh no, you're going to lose your life. Oh no, you're going to lose your kingdom, your wealth. Oh, this is so unfair. Oh my God. He's not doing any of that. He's just, sadhu means he cuts. And he begins directly with the first step in God realization. That is the name of the chapter. He begins first with appreciating Sukadev Goswami's question. And then he talks the next three verses about all the Griha Medhis. You know, people whose household life is not centering around Krishna, but centering around sense gratification. So he immediately starts speaking about that. And it may seem very harsh, but this is the compassion of a sadhu. Like when... But the sadhu also gives this because he knows that Maharaj Parikshit can take it. Maharaj Parikshit is at that highest level. So he is not going to be hurt by any of these things. And because he himself is a very elevated devotee, he is not going to appreciate also someone lamenting on his behalf for this thing. Now you counter that with, put yourself as Maharaj Parikshit, in Maharaj Parikshit's situation, and you also put yourself in Sukadev Goswami's situation. Suppose you are in a terrible situation of life. What would you expect your spiritual master to tell you? What query would you go with to your spiritual master? And what would you ask your spiritual master? When your spiritual master says that, you will feel pacified. Right? We all are in that same boat. Suppose, you know, there is a husband-wife problem. Or there is a problem with finance. There is a problem with money. There is a problem with relatives. What will we ask? We may, one thing is we will be needing support. Oh no, you are going through a lot. And the second thing is we want to hear that how the other party is wrong. Third thing, fourth thing, like that. Of course, we are not at Maharaj Parikshit's level, so we need some emotional counseling also from our spiritual masters and from our Shiksha Gurus and senior devotees and our friends in Krishna consciousness. But we will not think, immediately we will not think, of course we are all devotees and we have heard so many lectures on this thing, but immediately this thought will not come, how should I use this situation in Krishna's service? How can I use this situation to improve my Krishna consciousness? Or to go further in Krishna consciousness. We will be lost in the details. On the other hand, suppose someone comes to you for advice. Suppose you are in Sukadev Goswami's position. Of course, we are not Sukadev Goswami. But suppose someone is coming to seek your help. How are we going to help? I remember I used to get lost in the details of the person's life. Oh no, that person did that to you. Oh no, that person did that to you. How unfair is that? Yes, it is important to be very empathic. When you are saying we are spiritual, does not mean we are hard-hearted. But compassion for the other person does not just end at empathy. So, we empathize fully with the other person's situation. But in that situation, we also help them see the light of Krishna and we help them develop the faith in Krishna. So that change we have to make. That's why we read Bhagavatam. There are so many different lessons in Srimad Bhagavatam for all of us to learn from. And then in text 2, 3 and 4, Sukadev Goswami is talking to Maharaj Parikshit about so many wonderful things. He's talking about how those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. And like whenever I read this, I can connect with how many times I surf the internet to watch the news. I mean, there is a limit to how much news you need. Right? You can watch it one time and you know, okay, watch me read the news on the internet. There's a limit. One time you read in a day, you know what is going on in the world. But then I'll keep going 4 times a day, 5 times a day, different websites. Oh, what does this website say about this? What does that website say about this? So I have this tendency. So that means there are so many subject matters for hearing in human society because, you know, I have been given the knowledge of the absolute truth, I'm still choosing to be blind to that. That's why I have so many subject matters for hearing. Imagine if I would have used that time in hearing about Krishna, how much advancement I could have made and how much more service I could do for Krishna. Then also the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed in night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. This is 99% of the people, right? Like how much change, suppose if, you know, we decide to go for one aarti we have to attend every day, either morning aarti or evening aarti. How much adjustment we will have to make in our life to make that one change? So many things we will have to change. And then, you know, we will realize that, oh, there are so many non-essential things I am engaging my, wasting my time in, and I actually don't need that. So the more we commit to the process of Krishna consciousness, the more we will realize that we can, simplify our life so that we can give our time more in Krishna consciousness. Even just things like how many vessels we have, how many clothes we have, how many this, how many that on a daily basis. Of course, we have to be social. We have to have different types, you know, to serve when the guests come. We have different clothes for different occasions. But on a daily basis, if we keep it simple, then we see how much time is reduced in laundry, in drying, in folding, and in the number of plates and spoons if you have outside. If you just have limited, then you don't have to clean so much. I'm just speaking some generic things. But actually, all these things help us save some time so that we can adjust. The more we are organized in our house, the more everything is in properly, everything has a place and everything is in its place, we are able to save more time and we are able to be more conscious to our duty in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll be like the 99% of the people. We want to be like that 1% and we want others to come in that 1% also. And then he says in text 4, persons devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So we are seeing people around us die, but we still think we will never die. We live our life in such a way we will never die. And yesterday, there was someone, I got a call from India from a devotee. And one of their relatives was on their deathbed in the hospital, in the ICU. And India, in the ICU, they keep isolation. They don't let you go for a long time. So then this devotee told the children or the relatives that since the doctor has already said, because the children only told her that the doctor has said she's not going to live anymore, you know, she's going to leave her body. So it is important that you continuously chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for her. And you also let her know that she's going to leave her body so that she can remember the Lord continuously. Always let her. Tell her to call out for the names of Krishna, and whenever you go in front of her also, you also call out for the names of Krishna. So then the response this devotee got from the relative's children was that, no, our mother has seen her mother pass away and her husband pass away. And she knows that when we chant too much, that means it is time for death. And if we chant in front of her, she will know that she is going to die and she will become very disheartened. We want her to be happy, so we are telling her. Then no, you are going to get better. You are going to get better. Right? So then this devotee did not push much. Because you cannot push someone, right? Even if you have the knowledge, but they don't want to hear. So this is an illusion that the entire world is in. That lady may be happy for a few more days before she dies. But if she's allowed to go through the grief process of dying, and if she understands she's dying, and you can help her focus her mind on Krishna, she will achieve a life which is, has no misery in the future. She will get, you know, if she is able to remember Krishna very sincerely, her future destination is going to be very nice. But people don't understand that. This is all false compassion that the materialists are full of. But we are fortunate that we have received the knowledge. So we have to help. One thing is, we can help other people live a life of knowledge if we ourselves live that example. And our examples is the best preaching. We don't have to go and tell anyone what to do. As if we live our life properly, according to Krishna conscious principles, automatically people will be inspired by that example, by the mercy of the acharyas, and they will want to follow your life, because if you look happy in that thing. So, these things are important. So, these three verses that Sukadev Goswami has described are of the Griha Medhis. But we want to be Grihasthas. Griha Medhis are those householders whose life centers around sense gratification. But we want to be Grihasthas, whose life centers around Krishna. Where every decision we take in our life is based on how is it going to help me come closer to Krishna. And okay, if I do this, this is going to take me away from Krishna. But if I do this, it will help me come closer to Krishna. So every decision of our life, we take in that way. Like that. So now we will continue reading what Sukadev Goswami has to say. Starting fifth verse. And I'll request people to put the phone on mute because I'm hearing my own voice echo. That's a little disturbing for me and for the recording. So text 2.1.5. So now he's telling that 99% of the population is in this situation. So what can they do? What is their hope? So because he's a sadhu, he cuts through our illusion, but then he also tells us how to go closer to Krishna. So now he is going to focus, in the next few verses, he is going to focus on this thing. What can we do to come out of this illusion? And what is our hope? So the sage is immediately answering the Lord's question. What we have to do, right? What is the duty of a person about to die? Basically, to learn the art of dying, we have to learn the art of living also properly. So we have some time. So we have to live properly so that we can die in full consciousness of Krishna. Text 5. तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरि श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेत् चेच्छताभ्यहम् Translation. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries, must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller and the savior from all miseries. I'll request if Garima, you will be there.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In the previous verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami has described how the foolish materially attached men are wasting their valuable time in the improvement of material conditions of life by sleeping, indulging in sex life, developing economic conditions and maintaining a band of relatives who are to be vanquished in the air of oblivion. Being engaged in all these materialistic activities, the living soul entangles himself in the cycle of the law of fruitive actions. This entails the chain of birth and death in the 8.4 million species of life, the aquatics, the vegetables, reptiles, birds, beasts, and the uncivilized man, and then again the human form, which is a chance for getting out of the cycle of fruitive action. Therefore, if one desires freedom from his vicious circle, then one must cease to act as a karmi or enjoyer of the results of one's own work. Good or bad. One should not do anything, even good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on the behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in Bhagavad Gita 9.27 also, where instruction is given on Lord's account. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of Lord. Hearing about and the glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord, and by doing so, one will be always in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. The Lord is Supersoul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all the living beings. And thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all in His creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by Providence. There are many classes of human beings, the fruitative workers, the empiric philosophers, the mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this, here and now, is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all of one person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus, all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished.
Thank you very much, Garima. So here, Prabhupada writes in the middle of the purport that to work for Krishna, first you have to know the instructions of Krishna. For that, you have to first hear about Krishna. And when you have understood, when you have heard properly and you have understood and you have realized, then you can glorify His acts and deeds. One thing is through your own life, by living a life of service to Krishna, and by speaking about Him, and by sharing about Him, and by engaging in, or by helping those people who are speaking about Him and sharing about Him. And thus, when you do that, then you can constantly remember the Lord, right? So this, what Sukadeva Goswami is speaking in the fifth verse is also of special significance for Maharaj Parikshit. Because Maharaj Parikshit is soon going to meet his death. So Sukadeva Goswami is advising the king, somehow or the other, you have to remember the Lord at your end of your life. And that is the highest perfection. And then Prabhupada will explain that further in the purport of 2.1.6. So then, if the highest perfection is to remember the Lord at the time of death, then we have to mold our life in such a way that we are able to progressively remember the Lord at every step of our life, because you may die any moment, right? So if that moment is the next moment, but you know, we want to remember Krishna. And also, Bhagavatam is not against people being householders. So it's not saying that being a householder is bad. You be a householder, but you center your life, everything around Krishna. Your house is Krishna's abode. You are Krishna's servant living in His house. You are cooking, whatever you are cooking for Krishna. Whatever grocery you are buying for Krishna. You are first cooking and offering to Krishna, then accepting His remnants. Whatever new clothes you are wearing, you first offer to Krishna. Right? Prabhupada says that Griha Medhi means they simply want to decorate their apartment and their wife and children. That is the goal of their life. That's all. Whereas, the Grahastha, they are not blind to the ultimate truth. They are simply looking as to how they and their family can become successful in Krishna consciousness. So actually being a Grahastha householder is a very, very privileged position actually. Because the Grahastha is the only ashram that has some earning. So because the Grahastha ashram is there, then the brahmacharis can be supported, the vanaprasthas can be supported, and the sannyasis can be supported. So the grahastha ashram is very important to purify your life by doing charity to these three different orders. But again, charity to Krishna, for Krishna, in Krishna conscious projects, as is described in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We'll read text 6. एतावान् सांख्य योगाभ्याम स्वधर्मा परिनिष्ठया जन्मलाभ परापुंसाम अन्ते नारायण स्मृति. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to Anti Narayana Smriti, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. So, here the three different paths are given. One thing is through Sankhya Yoga, by understanding the difference between matter and spirit, or by practicing mystic Ashtanga Yoga, etc., or by doing your occupational duties perfectly. The goal of all of these things is to remember the Lord. Whatever you do, you have to remember the Lord. Then that path is also perfect. Otherwise, if you may do yoga and meditation in the Himalayas, but you're meditating on some light, you're not remembering the form of the Lord, you're not remembering the pastimes of the Lord, then that is waste. Right? And this is possible only when you are in association of a pure devotee. Prabhupada writes on in the middle of the purport. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis or karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined in the scriptures. There are many and then there are examples of how the Shanakadi rishis or the 9 celebrated yogendras who attained perfection. They were all perfect in the Brahma jnana, but they attained full perfection only when they got association of the pure devotee of the Lord and they situated themselves in the devotee of the Lord. Like that. 2.1.7 Prayena munayo rajan nivritta virisirshidata nergunya staramantisma gunanu kathane hare. O King Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulative principles and restrictions take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. So here again he is explaining who likes to take pleasure in the glories of the Lord. See, the platform we are in, we take more pleasure in discussing about our children, about, like, at least if I buy something, I am very excited about it. I have to tell my husband, wow, I bought this, look, this is the use of this, this is how we can use it and all. Or some people have interest in cooking, or some people have interest in talking about their jobs, or some people have interest in talking about their family, or their status, or their education, or their college, or their high birth. But he is telling that, here he is telling that these topmost transcendentalists who are beyond all of these things and who are fully situated in the Lord's service are the ones who take great pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. For us, it is a special task we have to do. It doesn't come naturally for us. But still, we should do this as a special task. And gradually keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Then it will become, practice makes it second nature. Right? Now first when we were learning how to drive. Because, you know, we have to be very careful. We have to practice. We have to go for driving classes. Or, you know, our husbands or family members will take us for driving classes. And we will learn. And then, you know, it is still going to be nervous. But now because we've been driving for so long, it becomes second nature. It becomes easy. Right? So, at our stage, because we are not at such a topmost transcendentalist, we have to continuously keep trying, intentionally pushing ourselves in that direction, where we try to talk about Krishna, talk about things related to Krishna, like that. So, we'll read this purport, it's very nicely written. Is Malvika on the call?
Yes, I'm there.
Hare Krishna, can you please read the purport to text 7?
The topmost transcendentalist is a liberated soul and is therefore not within the purview of the regulative principle. A neophyte who is intended to be promoted to the spiritual plane is guided by the spiritual master under regulative principles. He may be compared to a patient who is treated by various restrictions under medical jurisdiction. Generally, liberated souls also take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities. As mentioned above, since Narayana, Hari, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material condition creation, his form and attributes are not material. The topmost transcendentalist or the liberated soul realize him by advanced experience of transcendental knowledge, and therefore they take pleasure in the discussion of the transcendental qualities of the Lord's pastimes. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the personality of Godhead declares that his appearance and activities one of us, and therefore he refuses to accept the transcendental nature of the Lord, Lord's form, name, etc. The topmost transcendentalist is not interested in anything material, and his only interest, the matter of the Lord's activities, is definite proof that the Lord is not like one of us in the material world. In the Vedic literatures also, it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is one, but that he is engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the company of his unalloyed devotees, and that simultaneously he is present as the super soul, an expansion of Baladeva, in the heart of all living entities. Therefore, the highest perfection of transcendental realization is to take pleasure in hearing and describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord and not in merging into his impersonal Brahman existence, for which the impersonalist monist aspires. Real transcendental pleasure is realized in the glorification of the transcendental laws and not in the feeling of being situated in his impersonal feature. But there are also others who are not the topmost transcendentalists, but are in the lower pattern, and who do not take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Rather, they discuss such activities of the Lord formally with the aim of merging into his existence. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So here Sukadev Goswami is also pointing out that this thing that I am suggesting to you, King Parikshit, that the highest activity is to hear about the Lord and to remember him at the time of death, is not some mundane activity I am suggesting to you. This is the activity of the greatest transcendentalist. That is what I am suggesting to you. So you must do this thing. Text 8. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitvan Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham. At the end of the Dwapar Yuga, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas, from my father, Srila Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. The statement made by Srila Sukadev Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist, who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions, mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead, is verified by his personal example. So he is telling, look, this has to be done. And I myself had the great fortune of doing this. And the next three verses he talks about his story. And we'll just read from a little bit of the middle. Medical books of anatomy or physiology are available in the market, but no one can become a qualified medical practitioner simply by reading such books at home. One has to be admitted to the medical college and study the books under the guidance of learned professors. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead, can only be learned by studying it at the feet of a realized soul like Srila Vyasadeva. Although Sukadev Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of another great soul, Sri Narad Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmana to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavata. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, and entourage and variegatedness of the Supreme Person, and it is spoken by the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Srila Vyasadeva. So here it is said, it is also called Brahma Samhitam because it is the sound representative of Lord Krishna, and it is the essence of the Vedic desire tree, and it's a natural commentary of the Brahma Sutras. Like that. So towards the end we read that how Sukadev Goswami learns it from Vyasadeva, and Bhagavatam has to be learned under the direction of somebody, pure devotee of the Lord. That is what is being said. So we are all fortunate that we are reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, and he is explaining Srimad Bhagavatam to us. And we have access to so many online lectures of Srimad Bhagavatam that, you know, we can constantly learn. And then we have access to the temple. There is morning Bhagavatam class 7:30 every morning. And there are so many classes given by His Grace Harivilas Prabhu and all the visiting preachers. Text 9.
Parinishthitupi nairgunya uttam shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarshe akhyanam yadaditavan.
O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. So as we have discussed earlier, the personality of Godhead can be understood in based on the attraction of the spiritual practitioner. The Lord manifests in three different ways. One is as the super soul in the heart. The second is as the Brahma Jyoti, or the supreme Brahman, which is nothing but the effulgence of the Lord. The effulgence that is coming out from the body of the Lord is the supreme Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. And as the Bhagavan feature, this person Krishna himself. Right? Now, you can recognize some people are attracted to the impersonal Brahman. And meditating on the impersonal Brahman for a long time, they make gradual elevation to being attracted to the super soul. And then, if they have the grace of the Lord and they develop attraction, proper attraction, as it is described, proper understanding, as it is described in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, then they become enlightened by the superior statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Sukadeva Goswami was Vyasadeva's son. But he did not, after he was conceived in his mother's womb, he did not leave her womb for 16 full years. For 16 years she carried him. And the reason he did not leave, because he was completely self-satisfied in his meditation on the Brahman. He did not have any need to come out to the material world to satisfy any of his desires. Like that. So, in the end of the purport we read, a person like Sukadeva Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity. But when such a devotee is convinced by a superior method, he is certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are His activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. So then Vyasadev started chanting the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sukadev Goswami heard those verses, he was extremely attracted to the Lord. And he immediately came out as a 16-year-old boy. And he wanted to learn, hear more about the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he hears the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadev and then he walks away. We read this in the first canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I believe the verse that was chanted by Vyasadeva was from the 3rd canto. Aho Bakiyam Putanas, Stana Putana, something like that, which talks about that how the Lord is so merciful that even when Putana came to kill him by feeding him milk from her poison-laced breast, still the Lord recognized her service as a mother. And he gave her the position of a mother in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. So when he hears that, I think it was that verse, when he hears that verse, he immediately gets attracted to the Lord. Because he's already situated in Supreme Brahman. He's already fully realized, self-realized person. But he gets attracted to the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. So Sukadev Goswami is talking about himself here. That how he was attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord. So Vyasadeva has compiled the Bhagavatam. And in that chance to Sukadeva Goswami, he hears it and he feels extremely attracted. So text 10.
Tadaham te bhidashyami mahapaurushiko bhavan yasra shraddhadatam ashu syanmu kunde mati sati.
That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you, because you are the most sincere devotee of the Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. So he is saying, I was already self-realized, I was already situated. But when I heard about the Lord's pastimes, I became so attracted. That same Bhagavatam, the Lord's pastimes are described. the powers of the Lord are described, the qualities of the Lord are described, I will recite before you because I know you're a sincere devotee and I know you will hear with full attention and respect. And when you do that, you will get unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, who is the giver of salvation. So when you hear about this, it's telling indirectly, at the end of this life, it is going to end for you in 7 days, you will go back to Godhead, you will get salvation. And we pray to the to Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit that through this conference call, we are able to read all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam together. It's our great fortune, we have reached the second canto. We will continue reading like that. So, we read towards the end of the purport, last 10 lines. Or the last, there was none so attentive as Maharaj Parikshit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was none so qualified as Sukadeva Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. But for someone to be an ideal reciter, you have to have heard properly. You have to have followed properly in the footsteps of your gurus. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of 9 devotional activities. And by strenuously following the principles, either in all or by parts, one can attain the absolute plane. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Janmadiyasya verse up to the last one in the 12th canto, was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami for the attainment of salvation by Maharaj Parikshit. In the Padma Purana, it is mentioned that Gautam Muni advised Maharaj Ambarisha to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Sukadeva Goswami. And herein it is confirmed that Maharaj Ambarish heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to the end as it was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. One who is actually interested in the Bhagavatam, therefore, must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here and a portion from there. One must follow in the footsteps of great kings like Maharaj Ambarish or Maharaj Parikshit and hear it from a bona fide representative of Sukadeva Goswami. So, thank you all very much. We will end our reading of the verses for today. And I'd like to open the call for any discussion, any points anyone would like to add so that it can benefit all of us who are hearing, or any points you have heard from somewhere, or any anything you would like to share, please go ahead.
I can add?
Yes, please go ahead.
So, as far as I've understood that that we are supposed to regularly hear about the glories of God and understand that He is the supreme creator of everything, and also spread it so that it benefits us and benefits the society in general. And the way that has to be done will be explained further.
Yeah, he's already explained actually. So we just keep hearing. Right? Like we are already doing. We are chanting and we are hearing. That process is not going to change whether you are a new devotee or you become a very elevated devotee. It's just that we'll become more and more focused. Our desires for sense gratification will leave us. We will become more focused in wanting to serve the Lord. And our hearing and chanting will become more and more deep. So the how to do is basically what you are doing right now. We are all hearing very carefully, we are reading very carefully, and we are trying to apply in our lives. That we have to do. So it's already described, but the more we hear about the same, you know, repetition is needed in Kali Yuga because we are distracted, we don't understand in one time. So the more we hear, the more we read, the more our determination will become solid, and the more we go deeper in the process of hearing and chanting, the more deeply we will be able to understand the instructions that are there in Srimad Bhagavatam and apply more deeply also. Like that. But there will be many examples that will help us understand better in the future so that how we can apply. So in that sense, yes.
Wonderful. One more thing I'd like to add. I always used to, like in the last course, I said walking around, emptying dishwasher, do the beat for the mantra. But this time I am trying to do one round without doing anything, which is hard to sit still and do. So I have to say that it will be very hard, and because it's just I'm sharing a little long mantra, so I'll never be able to finish. But it's been just a couple of days, and I have to say it's very doable.
Wow, and very good.
You get out of it. It is very good. The pleasure you get out of just one round of the mala is amazing, because the whole day your mind is just doing that job unintentionally. If you can, if you're not engrossed in other things, you can do that job. It's beautiful.
Yep, beautiful. Nice. Thank you for sharing your experience with all of us. Hare Krishna. Yes, would anyone else like to share any points or discuss any points? Or any questions, comments, corrections? Alright, then we will end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we discussed from verses 2.1.5 to 2.1.10. And we will continue from the 11th verse in the next call on Thursday. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.